Camelot.
Camelot?
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Where knights are round table, three dots where we're able. We do routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are for the table. The many times we give and rise, there are quite something able. We're off the bag in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
He says he's the terrible. All those who are king says he's the terrible and the knights of the round table.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
There's a man with a gun over there. are telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. Thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound? We'll be right back.
to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html. Whew, that's a lot to say there. Got to catch my breath. Anyway, we definitely, without a doubt, live in a strange world. I'm out looking at some headlines on the old YouTuber deal there. And one of the ones that kind of strikes me is major world events now happening daily. The world can explode at any time. And then not more than four little pictures over, what do they call them doggone pictures? Heck, I can't even remember. Anyway, not more than four pictures over, really disgusting looking pictures, and deal on it says, if you vote, you are part of the problem. That's a disgusting picture right there, I swear. I don't even know what to say anymore. You look out there at this world, and then things are just like, I don't know, man. It's so hard to weed through all the lies and deception. You know, it's either propaganda, misinformation, or just flat out lies. You don't know. It's hard to say fact or fiction or just flat out lie. And so it's hard to believe what's going on out there. There's a few people out there that's got some common sense that are trying to sort through truth and fiction and reality and trying to get some positive ripples going on in this world. Sending them out there to the good people of the world and trying to get something resolved. Because the way that we see the world isn't the way that everybody else sees the world, you know. Maybe it's part of that Mandela effect that everybody keeps talking about. And you got people in headlines that are like playing a game called Pokemon Go, where they're going around pretty much mapping the world and falling off of cliffs and running into trees because they're not watching where they're going or whatever. But for the most part, majority of society is so distracted, so off balance, it's just... Some days you get up and you say, well, wonder why I should even bother, man, because it's like throwing a pebble in the ocean. You know? That ripple, it goes out a little ways and a larger wave just slaps it back. Sometimes I find it to be really incredibly frustrating that more people haven't woken up to common sense and started questioning the reality around them. I posted a video in the chat room down there, one that said something about Bush in a photo with Kennedy during the assassination time, somewhere around that period of time, proves treason. And if you go listen to it, it's a guy, he always makes a really good, plausible sounding video. I mean, it gives you a lot to think about, a lot to question. But once again, you don't know, man. Who's with the CIA? Who isn't with the CIA? Who's a shill? Who ain't a shill? Who's a troll? Who ain't a troll? You know, it gets tiring after a while trying to weed through all the craziness going on. So, I'm not exactly sure how to go about it anymore outside of what I'm already doing. You know, there was a movie, and in the movie the boy said, build it and they will come. I know that the movie said they will come, you know, like this ghostly baseball team's going to show up. And modern day, now it says, build it and he will come. Well, that Mandela effect in itself could literally be a psychological operation to seriously screw with people's minds. You just don't know. It's hard to know anything because you get so many different stories out there. You got people arguing over everything under the sun. You know, I can't even have my own personal spiritual beliefs and voice those aloud because there's folks out there that will argue with me till the cows come home over whether or not I'm right or whether I'm wrong. Never mind the fact that it's my own personal choice what to believe or not to believe. And, you know, it's one thing presenting your evidence and your information, but it's another thing when it's, you know, certain things that you want to talk about just instantaneously become taboo in this world. You can't talk about certain things. You talk about politics, you'll get a debate started over who's right, who's wrong, when those who have been paying attention long enough understand that politics is a dirty, corrupt world. You can't trust the politicians. They always say one thing, they do another thing. That's why I made a video called Congressman Bongwater, because at least he tells you how it is, that elect me and I'm going to screw you on taxes. He's honest and upfront. He said he saw his illegal alien maid sweeping dirt under the rug, and he likes the way she thinks, so he gave her a raise. You know, I would rather vote for the honest out front corrupt politician than some of these who smile at your face and say, we're going to save the world, we're going to do everything and make everybody happy and smile and all that. Then when they get in, they do everything they can to potentially or possibly deplete every bit of rights you have and tax you yet even more. It's really kind of crazy when you think about it. So, what is reality? It's hard to say. It's hard to say because you only can have the opinions based off of whatever information you've been subjected to. You know, truth is subject to the teller. What is the truth? And there's a so-called truth or community out there that's supposedly out there to seek the truth. And continuously, you'll hear them continuously argue amongst each other over everything under the sun. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what subject it is. Some subjects way more passionate than others. Some folks just flat out despise anything biblical. Some folks just flat out despise anything non-biblical. Some folks just despise everything, period. And some folks are just sitting on the fence listening in to see which side's going to have the best argument, and then they'll base their decision off of that. But in reality, looking out into this world and knowing that maybe there is literally a potential that this world could explode at any given moment because everybody's out there acting crazy, you know. Wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famine, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, all of what was said in the good book. You know, hey, some folks will tell you, well, you know, that's the only reason why you're hearing about it and it sounds like so much is because now we got modern media, blah, blah, whatever. I'm happy you're so highly educated, but I just, you know... I'm going to hang in there with what I believe, what I can see with my own two eyes. So, I still have to ask the question, with all the craziness going on out there in the world, and the potential that the world could explode at any given moment, and the possibility that if, for some reason, some weird, crazy reason, that everybody woke up one morning and decided to fix things, decided to be nice to their neighbors and decided to clean their own yards and work together with their local representatives to better their communities and actually did the right thing for once as opposed to going out and playing Pokemon Go and falling off cliffs and running into trees and such. And all those elected representatives around the world, whether it be the Congress or the Senates or the Parliaments or, you know, any presidents or, you know, even the dictators. If for some weird, strange reason, some scene out of the Twilight Zone that all these individuals finally woke up and they just got it. They understood things like the majority of our listeners out here understand things. Then they started doing the right thing. We could literally, now I know potentially, or reasonably believing that this could happen is crazy. You know, I know that the likelihood of us being able to come together long enough to do what I'm about to say is slim to none, looking at the given evidence put before us, with all the propaganda and the racism and the hate and all the discontent and past mistakes that other people made in history that new people who want to change the world for the better still have to suffer about. But let's just say hypothetically, just for argument's sake, and to dream the ultimate big dream of all dreams, that one morning all of the people of this world actually woke up and they decided that this was going to be the day that we take this world in a whole completely different direction, and we kick evil to the curb, and we just do nothing more than the right thing in every circumstance, and we feed the homeless and we shelter them and so on down the line. Humanity literally has within their grasp the potential to bring about a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. Now, the odds of this ever coming to pass is like slim none, because, you know, if you're honest with yourself and you look in the mirror and you think, you ask yourself, have I argued with anybody today over something that was like not as significant as that child in a third world country starving? You know, and you might be surprised at your own answer. Because if we're going to argue over religion or race or who got the bigger piece of cake or not, then our eyes aren't focused on the overall problem out here. If, like the title in this movie says, If the world could explode at any given time, the major world events now happening daily, the world could explode at any time. Now, if this is the actual reality of what we're up against, I would suggest and submit to the world out there that now would be the best time to try to, like Barney Fife used to say back in the day on the Andy Griffith Show, nip it in the bud. You know, stop it before it starts. Stop World War III before it starts. This is the best time to stop a war before the bullets ever fly. Now, I can say that, you know, and I can think it, and I can hope for it, and I can pray for it, as a matter of fact. But I can't force that opinion or idea onto the world. As a matter of fact, is while I'm yelling out here off from the top of my mountain and I'm just shouting out to the world some bits of common sense, somebody else on the other side is shouting louder than I am, race and hate and discontent and kill the cops and so on and so forth. Government conspiracies or secret societies or whatever, you know, it's all, you know, and then you have the people, the Chicken Littles of the world, the sky is falling, the Planet X Nibiru is going to come in, it's going to smash our planet, we're all going to die, we're doomed, everything's doomed, doom and gloom. You know, have we been to space, have we not been to space, is the earth flat, is it round, what? You know, if we can't figure out the simple truths of life, if we can't come together to determine whether the earth is round or flat and they finally agree and just move it on to the side, then we're never going to get any further than what we've got so far. The propaganda machine is so incredibly large and diverse and complex. It's a huge spider web of deception all over the planet. Depending on which political party, the two-party systems in the United States, you're going to get a different story depending on who you talk to. You'll talk to somebody from Fox News, you're going to get a conservative view on things. You talk to somebody from MSNBC, ABC, CNN, all the different other ones like that, you're going to get the liberal point of view. whether or not it's okay to do abortion, whether vaccines are safe or not safe. You know, we've heard every single bit of all this for many, many, many years. And I'm 50 years old now, and ironically enough, every time I get right into the middle of something, somebody calls. Hello, could you mute your mic for a minute, please, and thank you?
Good morning.
Could you mute your mic for me for a second? Let me finish.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, so I can still hear the industrial airport.
All right. I'll kill it.
All right, just the mic. Okay, so anyway, what I'm trying to get to, folks, is that we literally have the potential to actually fix all the problems of this world. But our backs are against the wall when it comes down to as many people as are trying to fix the world, as opposed to the many people who are basically just running haphazardly through the world without any kind of goal or foresight looking forward into the future. You know, if I do this, what am I going to cause to happen down the line? How's my children's future going to look if I make this choice now? So, trying to get common sense into the masses who are out there addicted to things like Pokemon Go, where they're running around trying to catch a virtual creature and falling off of cliffs and running into stop signs and trees and getting hit by cars and wrecking their cars, because crazy as it sounds, people are playing this game while they're driving down the road. You know, it's like the whole texting while you're driving thing. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Snively Whiplash is stealing every cookie out of the jar, right underneath everybody's nose. And every resemblance of freedom that you've been fighting for all this time is being basically washed away from you before you ever even, before you ever even knew you had freedom. You know, it's kind of like credit. I had bad credit before I even knew what credit was. And when I find out what credit was, I'm like, you know, I didn't even know about this. It would have been nice to know about this a long time ago. But it wasn't bad credit because of the fact that I was going out buying things and not paying for them. It was basically no credit because I wasn't going out buying things on payments and being able to build my credit base up. So the game was being played all along right beside me, yet I wasn't a participating in that game to the extent was I didn't even know the game even existed. And so here we are playing this game in this world that a lot of us aren't even aware of that exists. Now the ones that we like to call awake, they're playing the game, all right? They're basically either spreading the propaganda or debunking the propaganda, trying to balance the truth between the fiction and the lies and deception, and it is a never-ending cycle of when somebody dumps some propaganda onto the mainstream and the alternative media, others got to come out there and try to rebut it and say, look, no, this isn't the way it's going down, and here's the evidence, you know. But the folks that are actually out there trying to tell the truth and to actually find the truth are not only fighting against those who are the ones that are the spreaders of the propaganda, but they're the ones that are fighting amongst each other and breaking up networks and losing friendships and doing all this kind of stuff. So I go back to my initial statement. Hypothetically speaking, if one day all the people of this world, including the citizens and the representation, all the branches of government, the executive, the legislative, the judicial, and all the senators and congressmen and parliament and and presidents and even the dictators of the world finally decided that we're going to do the right thing and we're going to do it for the future of humanity, we would literally have everything we need. All the answers to all the energy problems of the world. All the answers to all the medical problems of the world. We have every single piece of the puzzle to resolve every single issue under the sun, including being able to understand that we can agree to disagree whether you believe there's a divine creator or not, and vice versa on my side. Now, the odds of this ever occurring is like so astronomically slim to none. The greed in this world for the almighty dollar and the wonderful shiny piece of gold and silver and platinum and diamonds and whatever, you know, I gotta have more, I gotta have more. I gotta have power. I need that new cell phone with the nifty camera feature on it. I got to have these things. In reality, once it's all said and done, you're not taking those with you when you pass on to the next world. They're going to remain behind. And there's also going to be something more important that's going to be left behind, and that's going to be the legacy that you've created throughout your entire life and your entire family, your friends, everyone around you, your children, your children's children are going to have to deal with the consequences of the legacy that you left behind. Imagine a world with no Johnny Appleseed. There never was a Johnny Appleseed. He's a fictional character made up, and there is no apple trees spread all over the planet. Alright? Well, he never planted those fruits, and so nobody ever enjoyed the fruits of his labor. Imagine no founding fathers in the United States of America. Imagine we're all still under the crown or whatever. There's no choice. No choice between communism, socialism, Marxism, or, Americanism, if that's an ism. There's, it's just, if all you do is all hail to the king, and that's the only choice you got, otherwise you die. That's the world. That's the world that you would find yourself in if we allow these elites to just do what it is that they want to do anytime they want to do it, and the financial system to be as fraudulent as it's been since at least back in the 1930s. And I'm sure it goes back even farther than that, because the moment gold came on the scene, people decided they had to fight over this shiny piece of metal. They had decided they had to have it for their own. You know, jealousy was the reason for the very first murder committed with a rock, according to my good book that I talk about all the time. So, in the hearts of all of humans out here in this world, there are people that will say humans are inherently evil. I choose not to believe that. I choose to believe that people have the free will to choose whether or not they want to be good or want to be evil. We have the opportunity. We're standing at a point in time, a crossroads, to where we actually physically have the opportunity and the resources to literally bring about a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. And in order to accomplish this, it would take getting the right voices to the right microphones in the right communities and convincing the masses out there that all is not hopeless. That there are choices, there are ways to get the clean renewable energy that they want. There's ways to try to satisfy the people. But there's so many segments of society that choose to live as victims as opposed to victors. They choose to, for whatever reason, dwell in the drama and the past instead of looking towards the future. Now, granted, My buddy Raymond's always saying that if you ignore history, it's bound to repeat itself. It's just a natural deal. It happens. It repeats itself. There's still people killing each other. There's still people starving. There's still wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence and natural occurrences. But arguing and fighting and fussing and doing all these things that we find that the average Joe does while we're fighting against a system that has propagandized us and dumbing the masses down so that you'll keep buying your iPhones and your Pokemons and whatever. If we're ever to fix this world, it's going to take a mass awakening, and not on the scale that we're seeing right now. It's going to take something of biblical proportions. It's going to have to take something huge, and that's what I fear the most about this entire society, is the fact that before this world comes together, it's going to literally have to face plant itself into the dirt. We are literally going to have to hit rock bottom to where we absolutely have no other alternative other than to pull ourselves up out of it or die. That's not only sad, it's scary as well. And so we asked everybody out there who believes in what we're saying that, you know, if you don't spread the links to this site, go out and start your own site and spread the message. Because it ain't about one person. It ain't about one group of people. It's about all the people. Not under some sort of one world government or some sort of one world religion. Or it's about we the people under some sort of one world idea that we want to live in a better world. That we don't want to live in all the drama. People being so self-medicated, drugs and alcohol and just self-mutilation, body piercings and everything under the sun. Look at it, folks. There's an old song way back, Freaks Come Out at Night. Don't listen to it. It's something else. It's ironic how life imitates art, vice versa. If you've seen it in the movie, chances are somebody's going to try it. Anyway, I don't want to sound like I'm ranting, even though I may be ranting, I don't know. But all I'm trying to get the point across to is that while we're trying to wade through all the between fact and fiction and fantasy and lies and deception and propaganda, we got to be better at taking care of each other and understanding when, you know, you're hearing this. What'd you say, Raymond?
So you are ranting. You're on a soapbox.
Well, do you have a better answer?
I don't have an answer, but I'm saying on this show, we're supposed to be trying to solve the problems, not dwell on them. Just think about them and solve them, okay? Body piercing and so forth, that's a personal opinion. I agree with you. It, I don't like it. If people try to prove that they can take pain, it dates back thousands of years ago when cavemen would pierce the holes in their ears or their forehead, put feathers in it, stuff like that. But that's what I just keep saying.
It's not just that.
If you don't study history, you are doomed to repeat it.
It's these not.
These things are history. Why are people doing them today?
It's not just that, Raymond. It's that. If you pay attention, you're going to know that it's just like the rock and roll scene. Back when Elvis was around and he kind of got everything all rowdy back in the 50s, he was doing things that they were shocked by back then. And every single generation has to top the one before that. The rock has to be harder, it has to be louder, it has to be faster, the lyrics have to be harsher, you know? And you get to the point right now, in this point in time, when people want to have a disagreement with each other, they want to talk to each other, and sometimes just, for most part, just in your average conversation, everyone has to emphasize every single thing with the word F, you know? The F word has to, I just got this effing really cool car, man, and it's effing fast.
I agree with that.
So,
our language is nothing more than a sin-sick mind trying to express itself forcefully.
So what I'm trying to say is that in order for us to be able to finally accomplish that goal that I mentioned, that if one day everybody in this world could just wake up long enough to realize where we're heading. I mean, if you're sitting in a car and you're looking down the road and you're the passenger in that car, and somebody who is driving erratically, and they're not paying attention, they're off the road, they're on the road, and you know, at some point, you throw your beer out the window and you put your seatbelt on and you start praying to your Creator, "Oh Lord, don't let me go out like this." You know, there comes a time when you might have to reach over and talk to your, "Hey, Mr. Driver, can you pull over and let me out and I'll walk the rest of the way, because you like freaking me out." You see what I'm saying, Raymond?
I see exactly what you're saying. Exactly.
Well, this is what's going on, man.
Okay, so let's do some positive things on the show today, okay? About a while back, you were talking about Craig, okay? So let's inform some people of things about Craig they might not know. Some of them might already know this, but some don't. It is by far, by the standards of the credit unions and the credit people that give credit, their rules are, if you're 40 years old and have no credit history, that's worse than being 21 years old with no credit history. Because the way the standard people think nowadays is you cannot possibly reach the age of 40 without having some kind of credit. Which means that you've got a good lawyer and got your credit history is bad, and you have it wiped out clean. That's the way they think, okay? That's the way they think. Now, I don't borrow money, but however, I have pretty good credit, and I use credit cards all the time. But I will not buy or pay for anything with a credit card unless I have the money to pay the card off in full at the end of the month, so that I pay no interest, and I wind up getting good credit. If I can pay for it with a credit card, I will. I will not pay cash, even if I have the cash. I will put the cash aside and wait for the bill to come in and pay the card off in full. People out there, this is how you get good credit. You don't borrow money and pay interest, okay? That is for emergencies and emergencies only.
So, basically what I've been trying to point out to isn't to try to put a negative vibe out there into the world. It's to tell people out there that you need to take a step back. And you need to look around you, and you'll see that there are solutions in every direction. There are, we've talked about it in the alternative energy side of the world. There are all kinds of different technologies that have existed, and new technologies, and, you know, new rediscovered old technologies that have the capability of doing exactly what needs to be done in order to have clean, renewable energy. That's just on the alternative energy side. And there are many researchers out there in the alternative energy side bringing foods and stuff back down to natural remedies, things that nature has already provided. And so my point is, you know, I don't consider myself being on a soapbox whenever I point out the realities of what's going on in the world, but at the same time, I'm trying to show somebody something important that is being literally overlooked. You're not hopeless, and you ain't never been hopeless. You have had options and potentials and choices throughout your entire life. You've had free will. You could decide whether or not to pick up a liquor bottle or not. And for the most part, it's easy enough to justify your own actions by society's means of which you've actually learned. I learned this in school, so it's all right. You know, hey, whatever. And as far as the body piercings and the tattoos, I got tattoos. I'm not knocking the folks that do it, but, you know, it's just like anything else that you do in the world, you know? If you seriously look like you shoved your face straight down into a fishing tackle box and pulled it out, well, that's kind of taking it to extremes. If you look like you dove off into a big old vat of ink, and that's kind of taking it to extremes. Well, you know, it's your life. It's your choice. And how you choose to do your religious views or your personal views or your own personal hygiene, for that matter, to take a bath or not take a bath, everything that you do in life has consequences. Everything.
Now you're starting to talk on a positive note. There's nothing wrong with body piercing. There's nothing wrong with tattoos. But it's just like everything else. You need to do it in moderation. I mean, good God. It's arsenic has great uses. I mean, after all, 90% of all heart medicine contains arsenic. A little bit do you a little bit of good, but a whole lot will kill you. And a little bit of body piercing can decorate you. But like Shaziz said, to look like you dove face first into a tackle box. I mean, come on, people. I mean, you can go so far, and then it's no longer cute. It's no longer pretty. It's no longer decorative. It's almost like insanity. It's overindulgence. And so body piercing, tattooing, okay, fine.
And in today's society, it's going to be a nightmare going through the doggone TSA screening, man.
Do it in moderation. Texting, fine. Nothing wrong with it. But moderation. You don't text somebody and over again that's in a car behind you 100 yards and not pay attention, swerve to the left, and kill yourself, your two girlfriends, and everybody in the other car, which just happens to be a mother and two children, because you weren't paying attention. That happened a year and a half ago in Virginia. An 18-year-old girl texting her boyfriend in his car 100 yards behind her. And I mean, duh, why did she let one of her girlfriends drive while she texted? Why was she even texting to start with? They both had phones. Why weren't they talking on the phone? I mean, they've done studies. 5,000 college students, and they gave each one of them an automobile and a obstacle course to drive. They would drive it three times, timed them, blah, 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 the whole nine yards. Points deducted for hitting a pylon or, you know, a marker, whatever. Anyway, then they gave them one beer each, and they rode the same obstacle course. Then they gave them three times. Then they gave each one of them four beers, and they rode the same obstacle course three times. Then they gave them a phone and had them talking on the phone while they rode three times. Then they turned around and told them to text on the phone while driving, and they rode the same course three times. What it amounted to is, if you're talking on a telephone, your response to driving is equal to driving with three or four beers under you. To text on the phone while you're driving is the same thing as being falling down, crawling, puking, drunk. It's the same reaction time. So please, do not text or even answer and read a text while you're driving. Okay? And, I mean, if you want to text somebody instead of talk to them, do it at home. Not on the road driving. This is ridiculous.
All right, so I have paved the road on the beginning of this show. I paved the road up to basically what I'm about to point out my point. What Raymond's talking about, the texting, the driving, what I said earlier on in the show about the lies and the deception and weeding through and trying to find the difference between truth and fiction and fact, all boils down to one thing for you, the individual. Something that the military has been talking about for years. Attention to detail. The only way that you're going to find truth in this world, as chaotic as it is right now, is for you to be paying attention to every last detail. That was my point in starting today's episode the way that I did. Now, if you go back and you look in the chat room, you'll note that there is a video that I posted, and it's from a YouTube channel named Jaronism, and he talks about the Kennedy assassination and how there's a certain photo out there that pretty much shows that Bush Sr. was involved in treason as he was with the CIA and such. Now, when you watch these stories, any story out there, and you watch it with a skeptical, informed eye, and you step back and you measure up the evidence, and before you go out there and tell everybody in this world that, oh, Bush was a traitor, or Bush was a murderer, or this or whatever, you know, use that attention to detail to pay attention to every single thing that you hear. And be 100% sure before you pass this information over to the next guy or gal out there and preach it as if it's the sheer gospel truth of all. Because this is how propaganda works, folks. They tell you something, and it's kind of like, you know, somebody doesn't have to be a thief to be labeled a thief. Somebody doesn't have to be a murderer to be labeled a murderer. All they have to do is have that seed of doubt planted in people's minds. Well, the guy doesn't look very good. He looks like he could be a murderer because he's got them big ears or whatever. And so instantaneously, this crowd is telling the other crowd, look, hey, did you hear this certain so-and-so over there, Shaziz, is a murderer? And before it's all said and done, the whole premises of the freedom, innocent until proven guilty, is just totally out the window, because now that individual has to prove their innocence. I got to prove I'm not a murderer. And this is how propaganda works. This is how the divide and conquer between nations, the destabilization of nations, is actually going on. The Jerry Springer behind the scene, telling this guy in his ear that I'm on your side, brother. You should have heard what he said about you. I wouldn't take that off of him. And then he goes around and tells the other guy, hey, man, I'm on your side, brother. You shouldn't take that off of him. And next thing you know, you've got a fight going on. Now, back to the initial headline that I pointed out right there. And I hope that everybody's with me still and understand what it is that I'm trying to say. There's a YouTuber out there called Grindall61. He does a lot of work in community activism and tries to hold the government accountable for their actions. And he did a video. He said, major events now happening daily. The world can explode at any time. And as drastic as that sounds, it's true. And the reason why I can honestly say that this is true is because I have looked out there and seen the mainstream media. I've looked out there and I've seen the alternative media. I've talked to the average Joe. I've talked to total strangers, and I've asked them, what's your views on things? And I've listened intently as they explain their points of view on what's going on in the world. So, if that could happen on that scale, and you don't believe that it could happen on a grand scale, such as what's going on out there, you know, people playing Pokemon Go and walking off of cliffs or into trees and wrecking while texting and wrecking while playing Pokemon Go and all this kind of stuff. Tells you our issue that we've got going on could be resolved with just a touch of common sense and a little bit of attention to detail. Yeah.
Does anybody out there know how many hospitalized walking and texting accidents there are every month?
I can only imagine it's probably pretty high.
3,000.
Well, that's 3,000 people that done, and there's going to be somebody out there that's going to say, well, those are 3,000 idiots that shouldn't have. I don't think they're 3,000 idiots. I think they're 3,000 people who didn't use enough common sense to pay attention to what they were doing.
My point is, if 3,000 people a month have accidents walking in Texas severe enough to go to the hospital, how many people out there are actually walking and texting and having accidents that aren't severe, but they are getting hurt? They're not severe enough to go to hospital, but they're getting hurt, and they're causing other people to get hurt.
Yep, and that person that's in the hospital might be because of somebody who was doing the stupid, right?
Wait, I don't want to get on the issue of gun control, but at the same time, how many people die or kill other people because they're texting and driving? My point is that the government wants to control guns. They want to outlaw guns, and yet texting, cell phone texting, is killing 100 times more people than guns. Where's the logistics in this? We're going to get rid of guns because guns kill people? Guns don't kill people. People kill people with guns. Texting doesn't kill people. People kill people by texting. It's just that simple.
Well, would it?
What's wrong with texting as long as you do it in moderation?
Would it surprise you if I said that my heart tells me that I would like to see every single gun and weapon and bomb excluded from this entire planet? Would that surprise you?
Would not surprise me a bit.
Well, the opposite of the spectrum is that my brain and my common sense tells me that we're not ready for all this to happen. We're not ready to get rid of our arms because mankind hasn't figured it out yet. You know, a gun-free world means a bully runs the world. The biggest dude always gets what he wants, right? Wrong? You see what I'm saying?
I see exactly what you're saying, and you are 100% correct.
So until we get to that point of enlightenment where we understand that it's this flat out wrong to hurt each other, or whether or not we can actually truly trust the government to have our best interest and not become corrupt, then there's certain tools that you have to have in your arsenal, so to speak. Knowledge being the most important tool, and your gun being the final last stand, you know. It's like you live by the sword, you die by the sword. That's the way the word goes. And the same thing would apply with a gun or any weapon for that matter. You know? And so until we get to the point where people understand that if you choose a certain lifestyle, that's the kind of lifestyle you're going to end up with, you know. And so imagine living by common sense and dying by common sense.
You know, getting rid of guns won't solve a daggone thing.
Getting rid of guns or knives or spoons or forks, that ain't going to nothing.
Think about this a minute, okay? Just for a minute. Back many, many years ago when Japan invaded Southeast Asia, took over China, Korea, Taiwan, all those countries, they abolished any and all kinds of weapons, machetes, pitchforks, axes, everything. Anything that could be used as a weapon was outlawed. So the people created the martial arts and they started turning their bodies into weapons. Getting rid of weapons is not the answer. Education. Educate the people. Teach them love, honor, and health.
Well, that's the deal, man, you know? You can ban everything under the sun. It doesn't matter. Ban it all. All right. Wrap everybody up in bubble wrap. If somebody has a dispute and they want to take it to the extreme of murder, they'll figure out a way to shove the bubble wrap over somebody's face so they can't breathe. So, you know, if they got murder in their heart, it doesn't matter whether or not there's guns or not. And that's what I try to get across to all the people out there in the world. It's not the things that you ban that's going to make the world safe. It's going to be the knowledge that you spread that's going to make the world safe.
You got it, Dilgan. That now you're really cooking. It's teach, educate the people what to do, how to do it, to help, love one another, help each other. That's it.
Well, and we have every single piece of the puzzle to everything that's out there. Every problem can be resolved. If we decide that we want to come together, we can fix it. You know, it might mean that you and me, Raymond, might have to go out there in the field and sweat and toil a bit and, you know, clean the place up and get it ready for the next folks to come in and to set down the picnic table and bring in the water and build up the campfire and such. But we may actually have to be the ones who go out there and do the hardest part of the job in order to get it, get the ball rolling till the final point where we're all sitting down there behind the campfire next on the picnic table and we're having a meal together and, you know, enjoying life under the stars. Now, see, this is what I'm trying to say. This is all I've been trying to say all along, but way back since this show very first started, we have free will, we have choice, you know, and in order to get that, you have to lead by example. You have to somehow or another find it in yourself to get up and start picking up the trash, and then everybody sees you doing that, and they're like, you know, hey, I ain't doing nothing anyway, maybe I'll just pitch in. Starting to look good around here. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. It's, to some people, and I want people out there to think this way, it may sound like work, but in reality, it's attitude. When you're out on the golf course and you swing that club and hit that ball, and then you walk all that distance to hit that ball again, you enjoy it. You're playing, but it's work. It's physical work. When you're at the beach swimming with your friends, having a ball, you're on the surfboard. That is physical work. It is very, very hard work, but you don't look at it as work. It's attitude. Attitude is everything. To me, even when I was a young man, I had no desire to surf. I tried it one time, and it was way too much work for me. I wanted to do other things that were more enjoyable.
Well, I tried to snowboard and face planted in the snow, so I figured out snowboarding wasn't for me.
Well, mountain climbing was rough. It's hard work. I mean, you have to work hard to be able to pull your body up with one hand so that you can reach up with the other one, grab another rock, a cliff, an edge, and pull yourself up again. That's hard work, but to me, I enjoyed it. I loved it. I mean, I can't do it now. I mean, I just had a birthday the other day, 2 days ago. I'm 72 years old. But when I was a young man, there were many things I did that were hard, physical work, but it wasn't work to me. And I started, when I got a little older, I started looking at my job, what I did to a living, the same way. And I thought, whoa, I hate this job. I hate this hard work. I need to change my attitude. I need to start thinking about what I'm doing. I'm making a living, feeding my wife and my kids. I'm providing a home for them. I enjoy this. I enjoy that.
Well, let me point something out to you on the work episode portion of the deal. See, I've learned that, you know, being a I'm about 150 pounds. I'm not the strongest guy on the planet, and I'm definitely not the weakest guy on the planet.
You do look like a skinny
Yeah, but listen, I use my brain to figure out how to not have to work so hard. I mean, back in the old days, they used to have this nifty little lawnmower that you push around. I know you know you've seen them before. All they got this like a rotary deal on there. It's no motor. It's just all human power, and you got to push this through the grass, and if you let your grass get too tall or those blades ain't sharp, you're going to earn your money, brother, when you mow that lawn with that gizmo. But we've learned through time that we could build these gasoline engines with really good blades and mulching blades that'll even chop up sticks and even a bag to pick up the grass, so you don't even have to rake when you're done. So by using that knowledge, I can enjoy my work. I can ride around on essentially a go-kart cutting my grass instead of being out there trying to push one of them old 1900 style freaking push mowers with the rotary blades on there. If you don't know, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go out there and Google up old lawnmowers and see how some of these people used to cut their grass back in the day. And before the lawnmower was invented, it was probably a whole lot different out there with a pair of scissors or something, you know?
I just had a thought. Knowledge is the true over unity, is it not?
Yeah, people use it.
The true over unity is knowledge. Because with knowledge, you can do things better than you did before you knew how.
Aha! Huh. So old Shaziz ain't so stupid after all.
Heck no, man. I mean, that is brilliant.
I'm just trying to say that, you know, if life is hard work, and, you know, back in the old days, the farmers used to have, like, mules or oxen or even horses to pull plows and stuff like that so that they could farm huge grounds. Nowadays, modern technology is advanced to the extent that they literally have combines who, using global positioning systems, can literally drive themselves. The only reason why the farmer's inside the doggone combine is in case something fails that he can keep it from running over the neighbor's house or off in a ditch.
Hey, again, it took knowledge to build that.
Yes, it did. It
took knowledge and thinking. And nobody could do that unless they learned something. So each time somebody learns something and does something, somebody else learns something better and better. And that, again, one more time, is the truth over unity.
And the folks back in the old wagon train days, and even prior to the wagon wheel or whatever, when they learned how to ride horses and stuff, before all that, they were on foot, and to travel as far as we travel now would have taken them months, if not years, to get from point A to point B. And as time had progressed and got to the automobile and the airplane and the trains and the boats and stuff, and now we could go all the way around the world in a fraction of the time that it was that we would either have been walking or swimming to get where we want to go.
You know, I've got a little bit of trivia about that covered wagon thing I'd like to share with everybody. You take two mules that can pull 1,000 pounds each. You add 1,001 pounds, just add 1 pound to each mule, and they can't pull it, but they can pull 1,000 pounds. You put them together in a team, you would think that they could pull 2,000 pounds. No. If they work together, they will pull 25% more. They will pull 2,500 pounds. If they do not work together, they will pull 25% less. They will only pull 1,500 pounds. So what it amounts to is if you work together as a team.
Yet I'd even go a step further to even suggest that if those mules were happy, they'd probably work a lot harder. You see what I mean?
Yes, they will. If they're very well fed, very well taken care of, they will work a lot harder.
And I think that could actually fall over into the people side of the deal. People seem to, if they enjoy their work, they seem to not mind working so hard or extra hours, you know. If they're good at what they do and they like their job.
They enjoy it. They actually enjoy it. If they look like their work, they enjoy what they're doing. It's no longer work.
So, basically what I'm trying to point out to everybody is something that I guess people should probably already know. You know, there's a world out there, all right? There's a world past the TV. There's a world past the radio. There's a world past the internet. There's a real world out there, physically, good world.
You know, I don't know if it's a true story or not, but I heard a story one time. There were two garbage men. They call them sanitation engineers now. But they were the ones on the outside. You always have three. Two on the outside picking up the cans, dumping the trash, and one driving the truck. Well, the two that worked outside, one of them was always griping and carrying on and cussing and using foul language and throwing garbage cans around. The other one was whistling and singing and everything. And just after a few weeks working together, the sarcastic one, he asked the other one, he said, "What makes you so happy handling other people's trash?" He said, "The sheer fact that I'm making money, feeding my family, and I'm helping people get rid of their trash so they can go to work and feed their families. I'm doing a service. I love my job."
Yeah. And, man,
it's attitude. It's how you look at your job. Is it a job or are you doing a service? Are you helping people?
Since you brought up the trash man, I got to bring up a trash man that I knew some time back. This guy, he worked at I can't remember what the actual company name was, but it's basically he drove a trash truck, and he had a route, and he had it for years. And, man, he was always happy, he always had money in his pocket, and he always had something cool from every single trip that he took out delivering trash. Because turns out what he was doing was whenever he was out delivering trash, people would be throwing all kinds of good stuff away. And he would find like radios and TVs and things that were still good that people just didn't want anymore, that they were going to throw off in the trash. He'd set it aside on the truck. When he got home, he'd clean it up a little bit, and then he'd take it down to the flea market and sell it to somebody else, and somebody else would go away thinking they got a great bargain, you know. He didn't pay one red cent for it. All he did was go around picking up everybody's trash, but he sorted through what was bad, found what was good, made extra money on top of what he was getting paid to do the job to begin with, and he said at one point he would never give up his job. He loved that job. Because of everybody else's wastefulness, he profited extremely. And there are companies out there today that have finally figured out that by recycling the garbage, they could pay you to take away the garbage, and then they can make money with your garbage. And that's a fact. Look into it. What do you think, Raymond?
I think you're 100% correct. You know, a lot of people don't even think about the trash man. They don't even think about it. But right now, it's summertime. It is really hot and muggy out there. You know, it really wouldn't hurt. It would make their hearts a little bit happier if you just once in a while go out and hand them a cold bottle of water or Gatorade or something like that, or maybe some homemade cookies or brownies, anything, okay? Just show them that you appreciate their job, because if they weren't there, you'd have to do it yourself.
That's right, and if the trash piles up on the corner and ain't nobody to get it, then it's all up to you now.
Hey, think about when the trash man in New York City went on strike. Think about that.
Showing that you really appreciate the efforts of somebody else. And I know a lot of folks out there who have really wonderful wives, all right? And these wives will cook for them, they'll clean for them, they'll do all kinds of things. Their laundry, I mean, they just love their man so much that they take so good care of it. And then sometimes you'll watch as the man of the house will start to take advantage of that. You know, and not realize how much the person that loves him so much and that he truly does love is doing for that person. And so for him to once in a while, should be a lot more often, show some sort of gratitude for, you know, hey, I don't know why you tolerate me. You know, I'm probably messy. And I got my flaws, but I don't know why you tolerate me, because you're such a wonderful soul, and for you to work and do things so hard for me, I've got to do something for you. You know what I'm saying, Raymond?
Yes, I do. In fact, quite often, I'll stop someplace and buy just a single rose and give it to my wife and say thank you. But there again, a couple of times, I've actually stopped my truck, pulled over the side of the road, and picked wildflowers.
Yep, that's cool.
In fact, I physically stopped my truck, pulled over the side of the road, stopped my truck, got out, and walked through the fields and picked flowers. She appreciated that far more than any rose I ever bought her.
The reason why I think that is such an important deal, because all of these things that we talk about out here, the things that need to be fixed, they start at home. They start with your own family, you know. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, he who lives in glass house should not throw stone, which means just that. If you live in a glass house, you know, it's kind of like on the same sense that let he who without sin cast the first stone. Same thing, you know. If you're living in a glass house, you might not be wanting to throw those rocks. If you're not without sin, you might not want to be throwing those rocks. These are just little basic common sense things that if you really paid serious attention to, add to your own book of knowledge that says within your heart and your brain, that together using these things, you got a pretty good world, folks. You know what I'm saying?
I do, 100%.
Well, so today I brought up a lot of issues out there in this world, and I talked about how it seemed almost hopeless at all the problems that's going on out there. It seemed like, you know, like the headline that I told you about, the world, a lot of the things happening in the world, that the world could explode at any given time. Well, that's a given. I mean, right now, at any given time, there's a ticking time bomb underneath our feet. We could have a massive earthquake, we could have a volcano, we could have a massive flood, and there could be death and destruction all over the world, you know. And so every moment that we live without nature shaking us up a bit is a blessing. And we should be taking advantage of those good days, you know, like it's really nice outside, it's cool outside, and I'm just kind of lazy. I decided, well, you know, I'm not going to mow my grass today, I'll do it tomorrow. Well, tomorrow gets here and it's raining like cats and dogs outside. I can't mow my grass, so now the next time I go around to mow my grass, the grass is twice as high as it was before, and it's going to be a lot more work to do. Does that make any sense?
Makes a lot of sense to me, partner. A lot of sense in what you just said. You're right. I mean, there's a lot of mess, crap going on in the world today. But we can change it. But we can't do a thing about it unless somebody starts it. So I'm with you. I do everything I can. Everybody else, there's a lot of other people out there trying to do to help and change things. What we do is we need more. That's what we need. We need more people, like you listeners out there. Try. I mean, a lot of people say, you know, learn a new word every day. All right? Don't ever go to bed without learning something new every day. Well, how about this? How about you never go to bed without doing a good deed to somebody somewhere?
Yeah, I've told people, I've had people tell me, essentially, all you do is waste time. What you're doing, you know, talking on the radio, you're just wasting your breath, you're wasting your time. What's the point? The world's never going to change. And with that kind of mindset and attitude, they're correct. The world will never change. But hopefully, and going back to that big dream that I mentioned, hypothetically speaking, if all men on this planet, all women on this planet woke up tomorrow morning and they suddenly decided that I'm going to go out and do something nice for my neighbors, I'm going to do something right, I'm going to do something to counteract the negativity that I put in this world today, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do the right thing regardless. Now just think, hypothetically, if this was to ever occur, and I'm saying to the fact that, you know, the odds of this ever occurring may be slim to none, but just humor me for a second. Hypothetically, everybody woke up in the next morning and they actually got it. They actually got what we were saying, and everybody did the right thing from that point on. This world would turn around and do an about face in a positive direction so rapidly that it would boggle your mind. We have every single resource, every single potential, all the knowledge that we need to literally repair years worth of damage that mankind has done by haphazardly just tiptoeing through the tulips with no care in of the future and no cares in the world. I just say, hey, I got a lot of money in my pocket, I'm happy, sorry about your luck over there. That's that, you know. But if some reason, if for some divine miracle or just weird Twilight Zone kind of coincidence that everybody just woke up and decided I'm going to do the right thing today, humanity has the potential to literally bring about a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. That's the potential that I believe that our Creator had literally bestowed upon us with all these resources. If you think hard about what I'm saying here, if you look out there at that earth, the earth is a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. It's a thermal electric generator, has more energy stored up in it, and just energy galore. The sun, the wind, all the potential power. And no matter what we do,
500 years after we wiped ourselves completely off the globe, this planet done fixed itself back up and starting over without us. All right? And so the system was set up so that while we're out here acting crazy, doing stupid stuff, peeing and pooing in our own fishbowl and polluting our own waters, nature is coming behind us and cleaning house. So we don't go over to that piece of property anymore because of, like, Chernobyl, you know, where there's a big nuclear explosion over there. Years and years and years had passed, and nobody ever goes over there. And finally, one guy says, well, I'm going to go see how bad it is, and he literally went over there and went fishing. All right? Nature done cleaned it up, man. And they said thousands and thousands of years would have to pass before it'd ever be safe to go back in there. Man went over there and went fishing. It was on TV. I don't know if you ever watch River Monsters or whatever that show is where that guy goes out and he catches big old giant sturgeon and stuff like that.
That was why he went. He was hoping that the nuclear radiation had caused monster fish or monster type animals in the water. That's the main reason he went, and he was disappointed.
Yep. So, essentially,
doing harm for people. For example, you're a young man. You're 40 years old or younger. You live in a neighborhood, and there's one or two couples in the neighborhood that are older. You know, they're 65, 70 years old. They're not in good health. You cut your grass. What's it going to hurt for you to just drive a block and a half away on your riding lawnmower and cut the grass for them? I guarantee you they'll come out and give you a cold glass of water or Kool-Aid or something. And a big smile, which that's better than money.
Yep. So, you asked for solutions, Raymond. Now I'm laying them on the table. They're there. They've been there all along. We've been shouting it to all four points of the compass. We've been shouting it to the wind and off the sides of mountains, off the hillsides. We've been shouting it to everybody. And for those who are already in the know, such as the ones that they call awake, you know, they already get it. All right? It's the ones that are just joining the show right now that we're throwing out there the message of hope. It's not, all is not lost. Until it's all gone, it's not over. You see what I mean?
Yes, I did. You know, years ago when I was younger, I used to do exactly what I just got to say. I would go down the head dock. There were two older couples that lived in my neighborhood. I'd cut my grass, and I'd bring them on the right lawnmower. I was already on it. It's already running. And they only lived a half block away. So I'd run down there and cut the grass. The very first time I did, one of the ladies came out and said, how much do I owe you? I didn't ask you to cut the grass, but how much do I owe you? I said, a big hug. She just smiled, wrapped her arms around my neck. That was better than $100. A lot better.
Well, we kind of look at things like that as a big deal. Some folks look at it, you know, that's not such a big deal. I mean, she could have gave you a lot of money. She was probably wealthy. She could have gave you some money for your effort. No. You know what? That hug was worth more than any money.
I cut her grass one time. She wasn't home. She came down to my house that evening. And she said, I'm here to pay you for cutting my grass. I said, all right. Huh. So she gave me a big hug. I mean, I swear, it was better than money.
That's it. The true gold, brother. That's what we're pointing out. Everybody has within them a Fort Knox full of gold. If they're willing to share that gold with others, they'd be surprised at how much gold would come back to them. That's the whole key, man. That's the hope. That's the peace, hope, and love that we keep talking about. It is within you. You have enough love in your heart that you could use love every single day and never, ever, ever run out. The scary thing about that is on the negative spectrum, if that's where you decide to dwell in your life as a human being, you have just as much negativity in your heart that you can share with the world. If you've got a cold heart, then you're going to have a cold world. You get my point? Silence is deafening. You got to hit that mute button key.
Wash up the dirt out of my eyes. I'm fucking burning again. I'm sorry. Yes, I do know what you mean.
Well, this whole world that we live in
in my view, is a glorious world. It's a beautiful world. It is an amazing piece of artwork. It's an incredible piece of machinery. Whoever or whatever circumstance created the heavens and the earth was, in my view, the most amazing being or entity, the most artistic, the most mechanical, mathematical, just impressive reasoning behind the whole deal that we have the luxury to enjoy. You know?
You know, but you're right. The world is a beautiful piece of artwork in progress, and we need good people to help finish this piece of artwork and make it even more beautiful than it is. That's all we need. More good people doing right.
Well, yeah, if you're driving down the road and you get down with your soda pop and throw your can out the window and your wrappers and trash out the window. Used to be a commercial a long time ago. For some reason, some folks found it offensive, but there was a commercial that came on TV a long time ago. It was a Native American Indian standing on the side of the road, and he saw some trash out on the side of the road that people had thrown out and had a tear in his eye. I didn't find it the commercial to be offensive. I found it to be profound, because here is a person from a community that understood what nature meant, you know, understood the beauty of everything, and was saddened by the fact that somebody didn't care enough or didn't recognize enough that you got to work in harmony with nature to keep that beauty alive. You see what I mean?
Yep.
So, to me, that was a good commercial. I haven't seen it in years, but it struck me enough in my lifetime that I didn't litter from that point on. I wouldn't throw trash out the window. There's sometimes, for convenience sake, I would, like, be right on the edge. I'd be getting ready, like, I'd chuck it out the window. Everybody else does, you know. And then I'd catch myself. I'd think about that commercial, and I'd put that doggone trash in my pocket of my door, and then later, when I got home, then clean out my door and throw it in the proper trash can.
I don't do that. I throw my trash on the passenger side on the floor, and when it gets so high, it starts spilling over to my side, then I clean it out.
Sucks to be a passenger in your car. I used to do that back in the day, and it was really funny, because I had a friend of mine with me one day, and these two girls come up to the side of my window, and they was talking to me, and they was asking us what we were up to, and I was talking back to them. I can't remember what we were doing, but either way, somebody had mentioned about the trash on the floor, because on the passenger side, my buddy Ron, he's all like sitting up in an ankle high trash pile. And I'm like, yeah, I give this man a ride. He's my friend. I give him a ride. And you see what he does? I mean, look, all that trash is on his side of the car, you know. And he's all like turning all red. He's like, no, this is all your trash. I just, you know, got in the car, that kind of thing, you know. But it was so funny because, you know, it's on his side of the car. So it was his fault, right? They were all laughing. I did clean out my car to give old Ron a break, but that's the way it was, you know. But heck, I got another buddy. I just talked to him the other day about his doggone car. He's got so much junk up in the back seat and trash all up in the floor. And I was like, man, you need to clean this thing out. He had enough dirt on his dashboard to grow potatoes, man.
I love that.
Dang.
You know, I bought a used truck one time years ago, and I mean, it was really old, but it ran good. And I thought it had vinyl interior. I got to cleaning that thing up, and it was dark forest green. It was red dust from West Texas.
Man. Well, you notice that whenever you're sitting in a brand new car that you just bought, and it's all perfectly clean and everything just feels good. It just feels right. It's fun to drive that car, but after a certain period of time,
You know, it starts building up some dirt, and if you don't maintain it, then, you know, it gets to the point where your next thing you know, your neck up in trash, and if you roll down your window because your air conditioner don't work, some of that trash begins to blow out the window. Those who are in the know, the awake, so to speak, they recognize that before it ever even occurs, and they nip it in the bud, like old Barney Fife used to say. They nip it in the bud before it ever even gets that far, so there ain't trash blowing out the window, and the passenger of that particular vehicle can actually ride in comfort like they do. And so that's no different from that little example to what it is that I'm talking about, that we have the capabilities of actually producing and helping to create the final product, which is, you know, the world being as beautiful as it's capable of being, and humanity being the same, and it's just a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. You know, I keep saying that. I keep saying that those words, and, you know, it, and people are like, well, yeah, that ain't never going to happen because blah, blah, and such, and so down there did this, and they're always going to do that, and they're never going to change their ways, and all that kind of stuff. Negativity breeds negativity, and positivity breeds positivity. So if you ask me why I'm wasting my time doing what it is that I'm doing, it's because if nobody's shouting from all four points of the compass common sense, then the word ain't being said at all, and everybody's playing Pokemon Go and walking off the doggone cliff, for Pete's sake. What do you think, Raymond?
I think you hit the nail on the head right there. As far as people telling you that you're just wasting your time, that's crap. That's pure, unadulterated crap. You're not wasting your time. Positive breeds positive. Negative breeds negative. You try your best to put out positive vibes, and somewhere, somehow, sometime, somebody's going to get a positive feeling about it and do something.
Well, you know the story of Pay It Forward, I'm sure. Now, you know the story of Johnny Appleseed, I'm sure. Now, my hopes is that years down the line, somebody will stumble onto this particular podcast, and they will be inspired by the words spoken on this podcast enough that they will revive the Johnny Appleseed, and they will pass that on. They will pay it forward to their future generations. This is what I'm talking about. You are more powerful than you can possibly imagine. The power of the spoken word, the power of the pen, the power of your action. We are the founding fathers, the mothers, the sisters, the brothers, and so on, of our children and our children's children's future. And what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. And so with that said, if we plant the seeds, if we are the Johnny Apple seeds that put the seed in the ground, they will get to eat the fruit that we labored for at this point in time. And if you look at your life, you have had the exact same thing done for you prior to you even being born. Somebody put the stones down that you stepped upon. Your ancestors, your forefathers, they had paved the stones with blood, sweat, and tears and toil in order to give you the opportunities that you got today. And so,
you know, we used to mention Johnny Appleseed several times on this show and several times on other shows. If the man did exist, which I'm pretty sure somebody, somewhere, maybe not just named Johnny Appleseed, but somebody did do just that. There are too many apple trees all over the place. The thing is, the point I'm trying to make is, if you're planting the seed of negativity or positivity, okay? If you plant an apple seed, it's not going to grow a pear tree. It's not going to grow a plum tree. It's going to grow an apple tree. And what you got to do is, if anything negative happens in your life, shrug it off. And in shrugging it off, you will succeed. There was an old mule. Wasn't even, she was too old to plow or work anymore. But the farmer kept him around because of the loyalty of the mule over the years. One day that mule stepped on some boards, and it just happened to be some boards covering an old well, abandoned well. And the board broke, the mule fell in. The farmer looked around for the mule, couldn't find it, looked down in the well, and there was the mule. Well, it was an old mule. It wasn't worth the time and trouble to take to get him out, so he called his neighbors over, said, help me throw some dirt in here. We'll just bury him right here. He's too old to work anyway. So they started throwing dirt down in the well. Every time that shovel load of dirt would hit that mule, he shrugged it off and stepped up. They just kept throwing dirt down in that daggone well. He just kept shrugging it off and stepping up. Next thing you know, he just stepped out of the well and went over and started grazing on the grass. If something negative comes in your life, shrug it off. If you can't shrug it off, do something about it. Correct it. You've got to keep a positive attitude. I mean, there are some situations happening in people's lives right now. You think it's so difficult you can't possibly shrug it off. Trust me. You can. I'm 72 years old. I've had a lot of negative things happen in my life, but I've shrugged them off.
Well, and that experience of the negativity in your life has, potentially been the what actually defined you as a person today. And so, for all the things that have happened in this history of our humanity throughout life and cultures, is that all of these things that negatively happened to us defined us as people today. There were people fighting for us before we were ever even born. There were people paving the roads, both positive and negative, for us before we were ever even born.
You know, now, it said that what does not kill you makes you stronger, and that is the truth.
Well, my point in saying that is not to justify all the negative actions that were done to us, but it also gave us the insight to understand that we recognize that it was a negative action that they done. We recognize that there were terrible atrocities done in history. Now, we're either going to follow that individual who left the positive stone and put more positives down, or we're going to follow the individual who did the negative stones and follow those stones. And that will determine the path that we finish out our life on, and also determine the path that our future generations will actually start on. If the very first stone you step on is a negative stone, and you got to struggle, and you got to fight for freedom and peace and love in your life and your family's life, that's a hard way to get to where we've gotten now. Now, keep in mind, the world is not perfect at this point in time. But you still have the option to break the chains of the abusive relationships in your family, to break the chains of the racist uncles and aunts or cousins that you had prior. You don't have to repeat what they said. You can sell yourself and them to their face. You know, hey, I don't believe that. That's not right. You shouldn't treat people like that. And then you pave that stone on into the future. Now, you're going to have two paths in this world to go on. You know, everybody's going to have two paths. They're going to have the negative one, the hard road, or the easy road. It's up to us.
Can I cite an example of positive thinking?
Yeah.
I was working for a sheet metal shop when I was a young man in Richmond, Virginia. And came into work. Boss was standing there. The fireman was there. They had just put the fire out. And his shop, the sheet metal shop, had burnt. I mean, the whole roof was gone. There was trash all over the place. And a news lady walked up to the owner and said, I can't even think of his name right now. I said, Mr. Davis, that wasn't his name, but I'm just for example. She said, Mr. Davis, is this going to put you out of business? He said, put me out of business. If I can get these firemen out of the way, we'll be back to work in 20 minutes. Huh. That's positive thinking. Yeah. And guess what? We were back at full force. It was a sunny day. We didn't have a roof. Duh, it was beautiful. I mean, there was a lot of smoke smell, but I mean, we did our jobs and we fed our families. We just kept going.
There's
we
a lot of
kept working while they were, the next 2 or 3 days while they were building the roof back on the building. We kept on working as if nothing had happened.
There's some really good conversations going over there into the Awake Radio chat room between Two Dog and Stephen Gibbons. If you actually get an opportunity, jump over there and join them in that conversation. You know, I'm not going to read it on the air this time around. I'm just going to, if you really want to know what two brilliant individuals talk about on Awake Radio, just go over there and read it for yourself. Because the words of wisdom that come out of these folks all the time,
you know, Two Dog's a leader in his community, and he does a lot of wonderful things. And I'm sure that Stephen Gibbons in his community is probably pretty well respected as well, because I've seen and watched his comments and the way that he shares information with people, and I'm impressed. I'm truly impressed. I'm impressed by both of them. And we got Justin on here. Justin, he lives in Canada. He also has a community that he's working with. You know, while we don't always agree on certain subjects, I agree with the fact that, you know, in his community and his friends, and he's not discriminating between what kinds of friends he has and what kind of friends he doesn't. He's actually trying to build something positive in a world that isn't necessarily as friendly to everybody in the world. And so, with that said, you know, here's Justin, another brilliant individual to add to the pot, you know?
Yep. Justin's one heck of a great young man. He's doing great positive things.
Yep, and that's the whole key. We want people to come to the table, you know? We're not always going to agree with what you got to say, but we're not going to kick you to the curb either. Unless you decide to be a jerk, then, you know, we ain't got time to be a jerk. We ain't got time to deal with negativity and trolls and craziness. Because if the world is as bad outside as the media and the alternative media portray, the only ones that can fix it is guys like Justin, guys like Raymond and Muddy and Thomas and Two Dog and Stephen Gibbons. Those are the guys that are actually out there doing something. They're not just sitting there talking on the radio or stuff like that. They're actually out there physically doing something, building churches, building communities, doing research and alternative energy. And they come out here and they're willing to share their knowledge with you and try to throw positive pebbles into that pond that are going to send the ripples out. They're laying the stones down that one day their children will stand on. And you know, if you got an opportunity to walk on a smooth, beautiful stone path as opposed to the muddy, rutted road of the past, which one would you rather walk on? Now, I believe that these folks are literally trying to make sure that you can keep your shoes clean. You know, you got your high-dollar Nikes on there. It costs $3 in Korea to make, and you paid $100 for them. But either way, those tennis shoes are going to stay clean because of his efforts. So, Justin, you got any thoughts on that matter, brother?
It's an unpreposterous, parasitical world that we live in, and it's a global banking syndicate.
Well, that's just like, boy, I tell you what, negative, all get out. So what's your response to how to fix that world like that?
Well, all the officials should leave the buildings where those buildings have the gold flag trims and repent and leave with no violence. Just walk out. Right? We can't change anything if they're not gonna leave. Right? If they want to keep neurologically controlling the cattle.
Justin, we right? talked about this a long time ago about the base of the pyramid. The only reason why the top of the pyramid can stand is because all of us down here at the bottom choose or not choose to hold it up. And I see one side of this pyramid crumbling, and that's guys like you and Raymond and me and Muddy
right.
and all them. We're wandering off of the side there, so that side's getting a little bit weaker. Now, if we could convince the masses to, instead of holding up the elites on the pedestal and allowing them to do whatever it is that they do to us, if we all decide, hey, you guys on the north run that way, you guys on the south run that way, east you go that way, and west you go that way, and we do it on a count of three, and bam, the entire system at the top falls because it's no longer being supported by us at the bottom. We are the base of the pyramid. We are the true power, because without the true power, which is that base, the rest falls.
We have true knowledge. See, well, everybody uses the word vigilar, which means to stay awake, right? And we're awakening, as everybody has observed under their own narrative view, right? The internet's brought everybody closer, right? We've only been academically inclined in this institution for the last 170 years. You look at your grandfather or your great-grandfather, for instance. Did your great-grandfather go to school? Probably not. You see, so now that we're acknowledging these spells that are casted on us, right, and it's a manipulative, vindictive way, we're changing, right? We acknowledge, you know, as a normal person that didn't go to school, what vibratory physics are and, you know, quantum physics and this and that, because we're all sharing it, right? Our institutions were created by men like me, you, and Raymond. We came together, we drink our tea in the morning, and we share our notes, our experiments, right? We're coming together from around the world. We're creating a new institution, per se.
No, we're not creating a new institution, and we're not even trying to do what our founding fathers did as far as the educational system. What we're trying to do is point out to everybody, look, everybody, that's the classroom, that's the chalkboard, that's what the teacher says, and this is the world out there. Watch both. Keep your eyes on both. Pay attention to detail and watch every single side of both stories, and you will find the truth. That's going to be that simple. Because we don't want to be the leaders to tell people that this is truth and you must believe it regardless of what you think or see. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. You just do and believe what you're told. We don't want to be like that. We want to get the people out there to actually use their own minds to define their own future in a positive manner. And that's the power that is in everybody out there.
Education.
Exactly.
Education is power.
Open-minded education, right? Like, when exactly. You go to school as a child, that they're neurologically programming your brain to only do one thing, right? But if you live your life as a child and you ask your own questions and do your own things, and then you go to school because you want to, then you're going in there with an open mind.
And that's the way all children should be encouraged to go to school.
Right. We say to kids, just be kids.
Listen.
But then we say go to school because you got to learn numbers. Why? Because you got to count money.
Listen, learn, pay attention to detail, step back, and then decide.
You know, I really like talking to Justin when we're not on the air. That boy is one deep thinker.
Yep. But we all have to pay attention to ourselves and not to be drugged down the rabbit hole, because when you get down the rabbit hole of this matrix that we find ourselves in, it can be a very disturbing situation trying to wade through truth and propaganda and all this kind of stuff. But you got to, when you find knowledge, verify just about everything under the sun nowadays, all right? That's why the free thinker, the outside-the-box thinking, is such an important kind of deal. We should actually start a t-shirt campaign or something like that with somebody, you know, a whole bunch of somebody's inside of a box and one guy standing outside the box shouting something blatantly obvious towards common sense, and try to get that little seed planted out there into the world. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
A bumper sticker says, I think outside the box. And then people will ask you, what the heck is that supposed to mean? You see what I'm saying?
Yep. You plant an apple seed, you get an apple tree.
You know, that's the best way to get your point across, as far as I'm concerned.
You plant stink weed, you get stink weed.
Yeah. I mean, if this doesn't make sense to people out there, I don't know what more to say, because if the world is as chaotic and dangerous and terrible as we've all been told on a daily basis, then all hope is lost. There's nothing we can do about it. Now, I don't believe that. I don't believe that even in the state that it is right now, that we can't fix this. It's common sense that we have all the resources, we have all the potential. It's choice. It's choice whether or not we all decide to work together or we all decide to take our own paths and just add to the chaos. That's that.
I'd like to say something to all the naysayers out there. What's I going to say? Oh, yeah. your thinking, this world will never be a utopia. There will never be a time when we won't have strife, wars, famine. There'll never be that. Many times said, if everybody worked together, but if is a very big word, it's never going to happen. But if a lot of us do work together, we will make the world better than it is today. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, and every little bit of polishing that we can do to whatever little segments of society that we live in will make it that much better. You know, it's like this. Exactly. If you've got a whole community of police officers and every single one of them are corrupt, and so since they're all that bad, then none of the good guys decide to become police officers because they don't want to be part of that situation, then the whole system's corrupt. But if you got good guys and gals that go to the academy and they uphold what was the initial deal to serve and protect, and you got half the police department that's corrupt as all get out, but you got the other half who will stand for truth, justice, and the American way or the Russian way or the Chinese way or whatever, you know. If you got folks that will stand a moral high ground regardless if it cost them their own lives, as bad as that sounds, then at least half is good. You see what I mean?
It ticks me off when I hear people called dirty coppers, pigs, and it ticks me off bad, because there are some bad cops out there. There's bad people everywhere. But the majority of the police force in the United States are really super good people.
Yeah.
Both men and women. I mean, they will bend over backwards to help you, whether they're wearing their uniform or not.
And you got to think that even if these guys and gals are good, after so many times of being told they're bad, you know, it's kind of like what you do to a child. If you tell a child all the time that he's stupid, you're stupid, you're stupid, shut up, you're stupid, then that child's going to believe that he's stupid.
Yeah, right. Yes. He really is. That will happen. It's called, I know the word. It's a hypnotic phrase. It's called, I'll think about it and tell you in a minute.
You're neurologically scarring the child. Water never forgets, right?
Well, I don't know. I forgot what my glass of water was.
Positive actions breed positive results. Negative actions breed negative results. You plant an apple seed, you get an apple tree. You plant stinkweed, you get stinkweed.
Justin doesn't beat his children, so his children are going to grow up not beating their children. That's as simple as that. If you beat your children, then your children's going to think that the way that they get what they want is to use violence against their own family, their own flesh and blood, and that cycle, that chain will follow into the future of their children. Wife beaters will breed wife beaters and so on down the line until finally one of these people, one of these children who's got tired of seeing their mama get smacked around by some piece of trash, stands up and says, no, not again. You're not going to hit my mama anymore. And whenever I grow up, I'm not going to be like you, Dad. You see what I'm saying? And until those chains are broken, until somebody decides, I'm not going to allow my community to be like this anymore.
I lived that life, Chavez. I lived that life.
And you broke that chain, didn't you?
I never, ever, one time as a child got spanked. I got the hell beat out of me constantly. It did not matter. If I spilled a glass of milk, I got beat, not spanked. If I threw a rock and broke my neighbor's car windshield, I got beat, not spanked. Ever. I never once got spanked when I was a kid. I grew up, I married a woman with children, I beat the hell out of my damn kids.
But the good book...
Wait a minute, we got a divorce. I married again, another woman with kids. I realized when I was older and realized what I had done. I was doing what was done to me. And I did not do it out of spite. I did because I thought that was the way it was supposed to be done, because I lived that life. And I realized that I had done wrong. I did not beat my second set of stepchildren, nor my third.
Right. See, sometimes you need to make that mistake to learn.
There are times when a child needs to be spanked, but never, ever beat.
Well, the good book says...
Not out of force, not out of fear, not to teach them, but to teach them not that they are not to do something. To spank a child is one thing. To beat them is something else.
The good book says, spoil the rod, spare the child. And some folks took that so far out of context. It didn't mean what a lot of people believed that it meant. It meant that you have to discipline your child in order to keep them from making mistakes that you may have made in your past. And discipline isn't like, you know, abuse. We're not talking about abuse.
But is discipline, right? If we're, like Raymond said, okay, yeah, my kid's doing a whole bunch of stupid stuff. I don't come over there and spank him and beat him. I give him a little tap across the back of the head. Hey, what are you doing? Wake up. Don't do that, you know? That's not an abuse. That's just... Hey,
listeners out there, Justin is a deep thinker, and he's a dadgone good man. He really is.
Well, that's
right. You, as a parent, you're not there to enforce. You're only there to guide.
You don't beat the heck out of them. You just tap them upside the head, just enough to get their attention, so they'll listen to you, and you explain what they did wrong and why it's wrong.
Right.
You explain it to them.
Was anybody ever wondered why there are so many people out there in this world with a rebellious heart against everything under the sign, you know, I want to do what I want to do and that's all there is to it, you know, whatever. You know, has anybody ever wondered why the world is the way that it is? Why morality doesn't seem to be morality anymore? Why the society seems to decline? You know, because at some point in time, like my generation, I was born in the 60s. As I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, I remember a bunch of my friends standing around and saying, well, whenever I grow up, I'm not going to make my kids come in at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or whatever. I'm going to let them do whatever they want, you know. And if they want to smoke, I'm going to let them smoke, that kind of stuff. And I actually heard these words come out of my fellow youth's mouth at the time. And when you look back and you remember seeing that, and then you see kids who are now cussing at their mothers like they're adults and calling their mothers and their fathers by their first name, and you know, with no respect, you know, instead of calling them mom or dad or something like that, you know, hey Judy, hey Frank, you know, like that. Listen, just absolutely no respect for their adults. My generation actually did a lot of damage to the future generation because we took away that portion that, like Justin said, where that your mom smacks the back of your hand, don't put your finger in that fire, you'll burn yourself, you know? She didn't beat the living tar out of you and shove your hand in the fire and burn you just to show you what it's like. She smacked the back of your hand to get your attention to let you know. That's the discipline that we're talking about. And when my generation decided we were going to rebel against the older generation and not make our kids do things and let them say whether they wanted to study something or not, then that's why there are children today that will pass that on down. Hey, I'm a free thinking person, man. Go shove your face off in the tackle box if it makes you feel good. No matter what you look like, people should love you who you are. Regardless of what that dang bass lure looks like sticking out the side of your lip. You see what I'm saying? Am I wrong?
No, you're not.
No, you're not wrong.
All right. You know, I want to clarify the difference between spanking and beating. Like Justin said, you know, he pops his daughter upside the head. He doesn't knock her head off. He doesn't try to break her neck. He just taps her just enough to get his attention. The way I was raised, if I did something wrong, like, for example, spilling a glass of milk at the table, I got beat with a belt. My stepmother would wind that belt around her hand until there was about 16 or 18 inches left with the belt buckle out. She would not stop hitting me with that belt buckle until the belt buckle came off or she got so tired she couldn't swing it anymore. That's the kind of life I live. I grew up here. That's a beating, okay?
Well, you, brother,
I was young. Glass waters had wire handles on them.
I'm sorry that you ever had to go through that because I've got cousins that I've seen that you know, they used to get whipped with wire coat hangers and stuff. I've seen it before in my life, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I've lived it.
Yeah, but luckily for me, I was on the opposite side of the spectrum to whereas, you know, maybe my real father and my stepfather were slightly abusive, not to the extent that what you had to suffer with, because I had my mom to contend with, but either way, my mom raised me with a loving hand and a loving heart. You know, she was stern when she had to be stern, but that right. made me the person that I am today.
Right. See, my mom's only 4'4". She's tiny, right? She's very, very tiny. I'm five six, five seven, right? So, growing up, I was always much, much bigger than my mom, and I never had a father in my life, right? So, my mom was physical with me. She would use a frying pan or the dog's leash or whatever, right? But I'd still laugh at her, and it didn't hurt because she's so tiny, right? But she would try to cause pain. So when we're hitting a child, we're lashing out and we're causing pain and a state of feeling, empathy, right, on a child. We're scarring the child. Why? Because we have our own, what would it be, vigilance, our own prior battles with ourselves, and we don't know how to cope with those. So we are reacting. We're not being mindful, right? If you use an example of just touch, right? Not in a harmful way. If a mother is at the end of the curb while the kid's in the park, and the kid's not listening, not coming, it's time to go, and the mom's just sitting there screaming, and the kid's on the playground laughing, da 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 da. What does the parent end up having to do? Walk over there and get the kid. So if the mother didn't scream and this and that and be reacting and just walked over and put their hand on the child's shoulder and said, it's time to go, be reasonable, then the kid would go. There's no reason for yelling or hitting anybody.
Kind of reminds me what Grandma used to say all the time, that you get more bees with honey than you do with salt.
You know, the thing is, what Justin's talking about, a lot of people don't realize it. The louder you scream at a kid, the less they listen to you. They try to tune you out. You holler to get, and threatening is the worst thing in the world you can do. You do that again, I'll break your arm. You know, they go, well, you're not going to break your arm, and they know you're not either.
Right. The worst thing that we can do...
And don't scream kids.
The worst thing that we can do is the worst thing that we don't like, right? No one likes to be controlled. We can't control our kids. We can only guide them through our experiences, through our observations.
Exactly.
Right? Like you were saying earlier, oh, I'm going to let my kids smoke this and that. Right? I smoke. I don't say don't smoke to my child because I smoke. That would be hypocritical, right? Parents do that. Instead, I take her over to the computer when she says, well, why do you smoke? I say, well, from my parents, da, 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 da. But there's no excuse, Kylie. Look at the pictures on the computer. Look at what it can do. Look what it is doing to me. Yes, I want to quit, but you see, I don't know how. I wasn't given those tools. So I'm giving you those tools, right? I'm not going to go and hide around the corner from it.
Well,
right? Because then what's the child see? Oh, what's mom doing? What's dad doing? Oh, they're smoking. Well, what is the kid going to go do? Grab a cigarette and go hide around the corner. Monkey see, monkey do.
Yep.
Right? You're saying, when do we make change? Well, how? We have to give ourselves those own instruments, those own tools.
Lead by example.
And so back to the subject at hand that sparked off all this stuff right here was a deal that said major world events now happening daily. The world can explode at any time. This was by Grindall61. It's a video on YouTube. And basically pointing out that how the world looks today, and I'm trying to tell everybody the same thing I've been trying to tell everybody for years and years. Is it the best time to stop World War III? The best time to stop abuse in families and break those chains? The best time to stop the negativity and the best time to make the world a better place is now, before the abuse happens, before the war starts, before the death and destruction and all that happens, and before you pull the lever for whoever it is that you're going to vote for your candidate that you make sure that your vote's actually going to count. You don't not vote because you say it ain't going to count. You get out there and ensure that your community counts every vote fairly. And if they don't count it fairly, hold their feet to the fire until they do count it fairly. You teach your children from the day that they're born till the day that you die all the good things that you can possibly muster up, and you will be surprised at how much your children will repeat your actions into the future. You see what I'm saying? You stop right. it before it ever even starts. You nip it in the bud like Barney Fife used to say. Before it ever even grows, that negative seed, you dispose of that negative seed and plant a positive one in its place. That's how you fix this world.
Yeah.
Right.
So that by holding the politicians responsible for their actions, and you cannot do that if we don't join together.
That's right.
If united we stand, divided we fall.
If you go out there and you protest and even get a little violent in your protest or vulgar in your protest, these guys and gals out there that do the Occupy Wall Street and the Black Lives Matter groups and all that kind of stuff that go out there and do this kind of stuff, they're counterproductive to what it is that they're wanting to accomplish, because when they're out there and they're effing this and being disrespectful and effing that and trashing things and threatening, they're not getting they're not getting the notice that they want. They're getting the notice that people can turn around and say, look, this is what these kind of people represent. This is what we're fighting against. This is why cops are getting abusive the way that they're doing, because we got people like this out there. And then on the other hand, the ones who are out there amongst the same exact crowd who are trying to do it peacefully are up against the wall with folks that are doing all the negative stuff out there.
You know, you're right about that. In a protest, anybody protesting uses profanity or foul language of any kind, it's exactly like the mother or the father screaming and hollering at their children. The people turn you off. They
right.
don't hear that crap. Even people that use foul language don't want to hear it from somebody else. I mean, they automatically assume that you are uneducated because you don't have enough education or enough vocabulary to say what you really want to say without throwing a bunch of foul words in there. When you use profanity in a protest, you are turning people off to you and what you're saying.
Well, there's another deal that I mentioned on here, and there's little pictures that you can put on your videos. I can't remember what the word for it is that you put on there, thumbnails. There's little thumbnails that you can put on for your video. And so the title of the deal was, if you vote, you are part of the problem. And the thumbnail is literally, there's really no nice ways to say it. It's feces, poop, you know, on a plate with somebody with a fork. All right, now, that is so repulsive and so offensive that I'm not sure how many views that this video got, but I'm pretty sure that the majority of people out there, 288 views is what it says on there, and this video was up one day ago. I'm not going to watch it just because of the doggone thumbnail being offensive. So if I'm not going to watch it, and other people are like mine to me, they're not going to watch it as well. So that message stopped at 288, and how many other people trickle in just to see what it's all about. But there's 9 billion people on the planet. They're not going to get that message because of its offensive nature just in the thumbnail alone. You see my point? Nobody?
No, I see your point. Yeah, definitely.
Well,
that we're having here, the correlator to what Raymond's saying, if we look at history, right, it's always going to repeat itself, right? Wasn't America supposed to be the land of freedom, right? Liberty and the great?
And
wasn't
it is.
Wasn't it supposed to change everything?
But
look
it
has. At what's going on in there. Like, I'm only north of you guys, you know. You guys have so much stuff going on with racial stuff, right? I seen a post on Facebook, and it was an African-American man and a white female cop here in Canada, in Toronto, right? Dancing together on the streets. But meanwhile, just south of me, you guys, well, not you, but the United States, they're creating such a disturbance that you got what we're saying, they're saying on the news, blue, white, and black. Like, it's crazy.
Justin, there's two Americas. There's two Americas, literally, two Americas. There's the corporate America, and then there's the true America. All right, well, Raymond and I, we belong to one version of America. Other people out there, they subscribe to the other version of America. All right, and so what you're seeing, literally, is that Jerry Springer effect, the divide and conquer, that what the dream, the initial dream was about, for freedom. There's still freedom in America. We can still have conversations like
this. You can't even collect rainwater and drink
it. It doesn't matter.
Garden.
It doesn't matter, because where I'm at right now, I live in a unzoned property, to where I don't even have to have a permit to build a building. I can collect rainwater where I'm at. I'm not, my area is not zoned. So still in America, you can still collect rainwater. In certain segments of society, you can't collect rainwater. I can have all the solar panels and wind generators I want on my property, but there's others who can't. So there's two separate Americas going on right now. There's two separate political systems, the divide and conquer tactics that keep the left pitted against the right at all times. All
right? Like the conquistador and the repeated history.
Well, listen to me, because this is important. Listen to me, because this is important. The divide and conquer that we're talking about is those that are fighting against the dream that initially was what America should have been. You know, not the portion of America that would have done dirty deeds to get America, regardless of whatever. Those folks that had the dream that all men are going to be created equal, that's what they started off with. That was the stones that they laid down. Those were the ones who were with the Underground Railroad. Those were the ones who were trying to help out the Native Americans. Those were the ones who, no matter what color a person would bring them into their homes and make sure that they were comfortable and fed and hide them from the enemy. All the way through all the wars and all the histories, there were sympathizers on both sides of the fence. Those who would turn in the Jews and those who would protect the Jews. All the way down through history. But the good and evil, the battle between good and evil, it doesn't just stop at one America. It's both. You understand what I'm saying? Me and Raymond, we live on the right side of America. We live where we're proud of our flag. We're proud of our nation. We're proud of our people. And we're proud of the fact that the diversity goes for, we've got Italians, we've got Spanish people, we've got Chinese and Japanese people, we've got Korean people, Vietnamese people, we've got Canadians, we've got French and German and Russians. We got these people living side by side with us who believe enough in that dream to actually come here for that purpose. It's the individuals on the other side who are continuously trying to push their own propaganda and their own agenda, who has divided America into these two separate versions of the same system.
We can't say they, though, because the other people, we allow it. We allow everything to happen to us. We're allowing it.
Raymond and I are not. We're not allowing it. We're out speaking against it on a regular basis. We speak against it. And we speak against it not just with our words, but with our actions, because Raymond treats his workers fairly.
Raymond treats his people fairly.
His
workers very well.
Raymond will go out and he'll help somebody out just to be helping them out. I do the same thing.
Right.
And I'm sure that you do the same thing in your community. So
right. We
can't paint the whole deal with a wide brush and saying we are all responsible, when in reality you're correct that we as a nation as a whole are all responsible. We have to continuously speak out. We have to continuously use our actions for a positive manner to try to move this world back over to what it was supposed to be, where everyone's free, everyone has fairness, everyone has justice. But to wipe the entire dream completely away just because, you know, I'm sad for our nation's history. I'm sad for some choices that were made. I'm sad for the Civil War. I'm sad for so many different things that our history had went through to get where we're at. But the fact of the matter is, right now, we are here, and we're now. We are diverse. We're black, we're white, we're yellow, we're red, we're whatever color of the spectrum, we're whatever color of the religious views or political views. We're here. We're now. Now we have to make this decision while we're standing at this crossroad. Do we let all of our difference shred the rest of what America could be in the future? Do we tear down our flag because it might be considered to be racist and pull up a new flag? No. We take and we make that flag what it was supposed to be, standing for freedom and justice. And if it doesn't ever stand for freedom and justice, then I myself, as a patriot of America, might as well burn my own flag because it's a waste of my time. If nothing I have said, if nothing my forefathers had suffered, if my grandfather hadn't had the scars that he did, if he hadn't have been over there fighting for people that he didn't even know and shedding his blood to stop something that at the time was told to be so terrible, if he hadn't took his own personal life and went over there and risked everything he had to try to fight for truth and freedom and justice. I can't say that in every conflict that our soldiers weren't deceived by the initial cause. What I can say is that in their hearts, their vision of what had to be done in order to get where we are today, our sacrifices, it should not be forgotten. Our veterans should not be forgotten. Our farmers, our people, should not be forgotten. The past should not be forgotten. We shouldn't bury the Confederate flag. We should fly the Confederate flag just to prove to the world that we understand. There was a point in our history that was so bad, we don't need to hide it. You understand what I'm saying? We're not going to repeat it, but we don't want people to forget it either, because there was a point in time where, because of the color of your skin, you could be hung, you could be shot, you could be drugged behind a horse or a car. There was a point in our history that should never be forgotten. But at the same sense, I can't blame this next child just because of the color of his skin for what happened in the past. I need to teach this child, I need to show that child that flag and this history and that history, and say, look, this is the mistakes that we made in the past. It's your choice which one of these that you want to follow from here on out. You can make the difference in your children's future. Am I wrong?
You're absolutely right. In fact, I've got a saying that I've said myself many, many times. It's not whether or not you make a mistake. It's what do you do about it.
Yeah, you face up to your mistake, you move on.
And you correct them if you can.
That's right. If you can rectify the situation, if you can make things right, there's no way we can make things right for some of the things that were done in the past. We ain't got no power over the past, but what we do have is a power over the future.
The thing is, another thing that I have is I don't have problems. The only problems I have are those that the people give me. I have situations that need to be taken care of, and I take care of them before they turn into a problem. We have a situation right now. World War III is on its way.
Yep.
And it will happen. It is a situation. It will happen if the people do not grab hold of the situation right now and shake the living daylights out of it.
That's right.
War 3 is going to happen. It is, if we don't address the situation now, right now, we've got to start doing something about it.
The base of the pyramid is allowing those at the top to control the entire pyramid and to control the destiny and the path that entire pyramid is going to go. Right now, we at the bottom can literally see that our pyramid is going off the base of the cliff into the great abyss, you know. And once we're over that cliff, there ain't no turning back because the pyramid's too big. We're all going to fall, and we're all going to fall together. And so with that said, the majority of the people out there, the good-minded, common-sense using people out there, have to nip it in the bud. Somebody's got to stop the bus driver because he's taking us over the hill.
You know, what you said about jumping off the cliff, it might sound like a good idea to somebody at the time. But the thing is, when you're about halfway down and you change your mind, sorry, no turning back.
Yeah, it's a done deal. You know, it's like that bullet coming out of the barrel of the gun. You can't pull it back. It's too late. It's done deal. The consequences are on their way. They haven't hit yet, but as soon as they do, there will be repercussions. You're going to kill somebody, and that somebody has family who's going to look over at you and say, you just killed my brother, my mother, my aunt, my uncle, my cousin, my child, and they're going to want to kill you. If you live by the sword, you shall surely die by the sword. That's what the book says. And whether you like the book or not, Somebody a couple thousand years ago was smart enough to write that down. You see what I mean?
I was just getting ready to say something about that, but you took the words right out of my mouth.
That's what we're writing down right now. We're encasing it in digital words out there that someday the people, somebody pick this up and listen to this podcast, and these words inspire them enough to become the next Johnny Appleseed of the world and put that on into the future.
And like you said earlier, because you were raised a certain way doesn't mean you have to be that way. I was raised a certain way. We just discussed that a few minutes ago. And I thought that was the way I was supposed to be. But as I got older, I realized it wasn't necessary. I changed. People can change. Just because you were raised a certain way doesn't mean you have to be that way.
My kids used to get so mad at me because I would always tell them, Mark is responsible for Mark. Jess is responsible for Jess. Kara is responsible for Kara. Chris is responsible for Chris. And every time they get into a fight, I give them the same exact speech. All right? And so one of them would go over and hit the other one. Instead of the other one coming to Dad and saying, Dad, can you tell them not to be hitting me or whatever? And I go over and I mediate between them and then bring it back to peace and have one apologize to the other or them working it out themselves. Instead, the other one would bop the other one. And then they'd both come to me crying. Well, I said, well, you know it was bad that he hit you, but in reality, you turned around and hit him back, so you already got your justice, a tooth for a tooth, eye for an eye. You're responsible for your actions no matter what anybody does to you. One prime example of this is there's things that goes on in Raymond's life where people do him wrong, and he's a good-hearted soul, and yet it hasn't changed Raymond a bit. Raymond's still Raymond. He's still a good guy. He's still going to do what he does because he knows. He's been around for about, what, 70 years now, Raymond? 72 years he's been around. He's got the wisdom in his head that knows just because somebody's a jerk doesn't mean he has to be a jerk as well. And so he stays consistent, and those around him see him stay consistent, just like your children will see you stay consistent, and they will repeat what you've done.
Teach by, what was it?
Lead by example.
Lead by example. There you go.
And for us at the bottom, and what Justin mentioned earlier about how we're responsible for it, if we lead by example, because we truly are the leaders, we're the ones holding up the base of the pyramid. If we lead by example, by allowing those to know who have the honor of representing us before Congress and the Senate and the parliaments of the world, if we allow them to do what they do instead of voicing our concerns when the concerns are needed to be addressed, if we allow them to treat our brothers and sisters like happened down there whenever they the doggone EPA busted a hole in the mine and flooded down a deal and told those people down there, oh, don't worry, just wait for the crud to float by and then you can drink the water again, and then allow them to bring trucks in there that had oil in them, that had used haul oil and put water in them and take it down there and give them that crappy water instead of making sure that they had brand new clean trucks to have water or bottles of water or whatever. Whatever it took to feed the cattle and keep them safe and rectify the situation. No, they took the short way out. They disrespected those people. They disrespected the land. They disrespected the law and everything. And that was that. You know, no repercussions. Nobody was thrown in jail for what they did. Nobody was fined. You don't fine the EPA. The EPA fines you. And until we stand up and say, no, if you make some mistake as the government, then you're going to go down there and you're going to help these people out. You're going to give these people what they need. Otherwise, we're no longer going to be your base of your pyramid. We're going to move out from under you and watch you drop directly on your butt.
Right. We don't need these elections or these nominations. We really don't. Right?
Yep.
The higher people are in the government, the more they think they are above the law.
Well, the word itself, govern, mental.
Yep. Two dogs
You're
said,
governing the mentality of the personalities of the people. You're not allowing people to flourish, right?
Listen, Two Dogs said, America is a nation of laws, not people. They took our Constitution. They need to follow it. I agree. He also said that if they are not careful here, could have a second Civil War. And he says he'd hate to see that happen, just like we would hate to see that happen. Because, listen, folks, and you need to spread this message to all four points of the wind. Tell them Two Dog said it, tell them Shaziz said it, tell them Justin said it, tell them Raymond said it, tell them Steven said it, tell them Muddy said it, and Thomas and all of that. If there ever is a second Civil War, there will be no winner. Period.
Absolutely no winner. Absolutely.
We gotta nip it in the bud before it ever even gets started, because the destruction in a second Civil War ain't gonna be like it was back during the first Civil War. They had muskets and knives and swords, and now we got machine guns and bombs and the anarchist cookbook, and you're going to have nutcases building all kinds of things to cause death and destruction, and the ecological, environmental, physical, and mental damage of a second Civil War in the United States of America means that it will domino out and the entire world itself will fall. Period. There won't be no place called America where everybody can go for the American dream or the freedom or anything like that. There'll be communist nations. There'll be scattered bunches of gangs that the strongest wins out. Whoever has the biggest gun, whoever has the most powerful fist, that will be your boss. And you will have one choice and one choice only. Do as you're told or take a beating or die. You don't want to live in a world like that.
That's more than one choice.
We live in a world of contempt. Worthlessness. We're treated like cattle, no different than any chicken.
Because we are complicit. We're only treated that way because we allow. We are the base of the pyramid. That without us, they can't do this.
So the way that they're doing it though with us is basically neurologically. That's the only thing. If you look at the woman out in front of the courthouse, she's blinded, right?
Well, fear, intimidation.
That's what they've done. Yeah, fear.
Fear, right? Intimidation, indoctrination, and propaganda is the tool that the elite have been using on people for so long. You know, hey, back whenever the supposed Mayflower landed on the shores and met these nice people that took them in and fed them and showed them around, those were people that could get along with these people and everything was cool. It wasn't until later on when somebody wanted something that these other people who were here first had that the propaganda started. All right, once the propaganda started, oh, well, these savages over here, look how they live, you know, they're trying to kill everybody. And then now you got people that really believed what they were saying, that these people were really trying to kill them, when in reality, they weren't trying to kill them, they were trying to feed them, they were trying to protect their own families. They weren't doing nothing, they were here first, it was their land, it was their home.
Right, we live in a world full of speculations and allegations, right? Michael Jackson, you know, sung about that a long time ago, that the government don't really care about us and all that other stuff. Slander. We live in a world of slander and belittle and vengeance.
Well,
and
why do we choose to allow it to happen then, Justin? Why?
Let's look at a little bit of an example, right? New York City, a city of 100,000 people, everybody's got to put up a fence, right? Because I, right? Ego, right? But if you go and you move up north and you got a neighbor every, 4 or 5 miles, everybody will stop. That neighbor will stop at your house to see if you need any wood.
Yeah.
Right? So why do people do this? When you put them together, like electrons, they don't like to be put together. But when you spread them out, they work together, and they work together really well. So why is this? Why do we see this?
Well, you know what? If you put a bunch of guys into a building with prison, testosterone, frustration and anger, you got to expect that what comes out of that is going to be a very damaged individual who may carry that out into society with them. But if you teach those people before they ever even get thrown into that prison, then you don't have that problem.
But you see, people don't acknowledge, like we were talking about protest earlier. The proper way of protest is what they taught you in school. Get a piece of paper, write on it, go to your MP's office, file it. Now, if you do that by the thousands, they have to acknowledge that because you put it in writing. You see, you don't stand out, block the streets, yell, scream, You smoke marijuana and drink and smash bottles and shoot guns off in the air? No, you do it properly. You write on a piece of paper, you go submit it. Because that will add up. One complaint, two complaint, three complaint. That's what you've been told to do as a child, right? If you got a complaint, put it in writing.
There's a big piece of propaganda.
And we don't. Why don't we do that? If their bills and their elections and their acts and their codes and their conducts and their laws are all in writing, then why aren't we putting everything in spells and doing the same thing?
There's a big piece.
We've been taught we need an attorney, right?
Yeah.
An attorney. The three first digits of an attorney are 007. They've been teaching this since Sean Connery in the 007, since the 60s.
Yeah, but listen,
and people
listen.
Still don't acknowledge it.
Listen, this has to do with what you're talking about. There is a huge piece of propaganda out there that they call the Georgia Guidestones. And essentially, it's talking about the better world, the new world, that kind of stuff, and how we need to depopulate the planet. Let me finish my point here. How we need to depopulate the planet. There are 9 billion people on this planet, all right? And rising on a daily basis. But these folks, they believe that the planet would be better off served like 500 million people. So 500 million people, do the math for the 9 billion people and think about how many people actually have to go so somebody can enjoy this world the way that they see it should be enjoyed. The governments of this world, they make money. All right, they make money hand over fist. They're
right.
That
has nothing to do with money, though.
I know, but they make money hand over fist. This is why they do what they do.
Power.
To gain power, to gain notoriety, and in order to do that, they have to deceive the population, just like all the different branches of the courtroom, between the natural court to the civil court to the criminal court to the federal courts and so on and so forth. If you don't know how to speak whenever you're in each one of these separate jurisdictions, which all have a different terminology and lengths of the law, like in civil court, it's the person whose deal sounds best. In criminal court, it's the person who has the best evidence that somebody is guilty. It's more proof in a criminal court than it is a civilian court. But in natural court, you know, the whole do no harm kind of thing, you know? You see what I'm saying? But if you're standing in a courtroom and you don't know what courtroom you're standing in, your terminology could make or break your case. Plain and simple. And these guys know that. They use that to actually generate revenue by those who come in there and say, I'm going to represent myself. That's why you need an attorney.
Reporting, no government on the face of this earth makes money. Not one of them runs a business. They steal their money from the working class people.
Well, when I say making money, that's their version of making money. The stealing is the more proper terminology to use for it. But in a sense, they're getting rich.
It's not even about being rich. It's about being powerful, right? See, money is just an IOU. It's a representation. We know that the States, Canada, Mexico, all these countries are quote-unquote have no money. They're all broke, right? Because we have a gold. We had a gold backing before, right? Who has all the gold? We apparently see that China and Russia do, right? We have no money. We're living in debt, da-da-da-da. But we're still donating money to all these other countries for medical and this and that. We have nothing. Money is just a representation for power, right? I'll give you a really good example. The people that are what we call immigrants, you know, the religion would be, or ethnic background would be Muslims, right? Some man from over here on North America paid $750 billion to bring all of these quote-unquote immigrants here. Who would pay money to bring all these people here? You're not going to pay money unless you're going to make money. You're not going to spend $750 billion unless you know you're going to get money. So they're moving cattle from one side of the world to the other because what? People here in America don't want to work. They're all lazy. We can't find jobs. There's no work, this and that. And they know people that come from China, Korea, Japan, Islamic people, European people. They come here and they work, right? So that's what they're doing. That person spend that money, they come here, they work. They all own a share in the stock market. each and every single one of those persons is worth money. We're cattle. So the money is really nothing. That person that spent that money is just getting more control, more power.
Well,
right? That's what it's all about. To belittle
people. I have to disagree with one point that you put out there about Americans not wanting to work. Because here's the thing. Americans have always wanted to work. Back in the industrial age, the Americans did some amazing things with work.
It was all for war, though.
But listen to me. Regardless of whether it was a war effort or whether it was an effort to essentially make America better, whatever, Americans wanted to work. But after a certain amount of time, there were things called unions that came into play that they started arguing over what that work was actually worth. And so at that point, when people started to realize there was a deal behind money where, you know, you should be getting more money for what you're doing, then that's where things began to change, to where people started feeling like something more was owed to them than what they were willing to work for, if you understand what I'm trying to say. It wasn't that you shouldn't pay a man $15 an hour to do an honest day's job. That's not the point.
About these immigrants, I believe, I may be wrong, but I don't think I am. I believe you took all the immigrants in the United States, legal and illegal, and rolled them all into one and checked, you would find that there are more immigrants on welfare programs or social programs than there are natural born Americans. Somebody needs to do the statistics.
Yeah, and so we can't say that Americans are lazy and they don't want to work. There are a portion of every society.
But you see, I'm not saying that they really don't want to work. What I'm saying is that they have no dream, no goals anymore because everybody's sitting there and they're stewing.
Well, you know, you see, so that was the whole.
They bring in other people that are just completely grateful that they're being saved and this and that, and then they're just using them. See, people that are
well,
in
see,
America
there's the point right there. What you just
they
said
know
right
what's
there.
Going
look,
on.
Look, Justin.
These other people are
Justin.
Just, they're
what,
still children.
What
they
you
don't
said.
Know anything.
What you said right there was the key point to your entire argument was that these people are being used because they will work for less money.
Right.
All
right.
They're willing to work hard for less money. And so, essentially, you just took a society that has got to the point where they refuse to be taken advantage of and refuse to be abused because they're setting certain goals for their lives and standards. And when those standards aren't met, they're getting angry. They're not wanting to get these jobs. They're saying, I'm above this job. I can't go out and pick cherries because that's below me. I got an education. I should be up in the White House or whatever. But these people that they're bringing in, they're being used because now they're easier to abuse. If you're going to bring these people in there and you're going to pay them a less wage, you should pay them the same wage that the American is afforded if you're going to bring them in at
right.
all.
Yeah, see, they've stripped the neurological... it's like a relationship, right? You're always positive, but you're getting nothing back but negative, right? You see, people in America, they went to school, like you're saying. They got an education. They're an iron worker. They're a blacksmith. They're whatever you want to say. They're a lathe person. They're a mechanic, a doctor. And now there's none of these jobs that are available. There's less and less. And what are they doing? How would you feel if you went to school for 5 years to become a great mechanic, but now you're working as a manager at McDonald's? Now, how does that make you feel neurologically? You want to give up. That's what's going on. Everybody's giving up. They're in a disarray. They don't know to go left, right. Look at the old lady. The old lady's grabbing some jars off the shelf, and she's like, $5 for an empty jar? She's sad, and she can't afford that on her old age pension. But what do you mean? She should be able to. Some kid should come along and give her the money to pay for that, right? Why is Raymond giving pairs of shoes and taking care of the kids? The kids should be able to thrive and flourish. They should be able to walk down the street and pick the tomatoes or the cucumbers that are growing in the boulevards.
Well, see,
we're not allowing this as parents, and the kids aren't being taught the right ways. So they don't know, but they only know the ways that they've been taught. We have to come together and rewrite everything.
That's right. We have to put common sense out there on the table to give people choices. You have to first recognize that there is a definite Jerry Springer effect taking place all over this world, that somebody's in there keeping the pot stirred continuously, and by shipping in immigrants and taking advantage of them, it's stirring the pot, because now you've got people that feel like they are being, after their years of going through college, and they should be able to have a decent job, that are feeling like these individuals that are brought in here to undercut their business or whatever, you know, what's the point of going to college for 20 years if you can bring somebody in who's going to do that job for less money than you, and you ain't going to get that job after you spent thousands of dollars to go to college? That is the Jerry Springer effect, where they have stirred that pot intentionally to keep everybody doing what it is that we're doing right now, arguing amongst each other.
Mm-hmm. This is the United States, and only in America can you possibly get a job at McDonald's, work 47 hours, and wind up, after 47 hours of experience, CEO of McDonald's. And that is exactly what Obama did. Obama was a congressman. His actual work experience is on record. All politicians, their hours of service is on record. His actual hours of service as a congressman was 47 hours when then he was president of the United States.
I want to read a comment that was put down here in front of on Awake Radio. Two Dog wrote a message down here. He said, "I couldn't go to war without sitting in front of our Klan mothers anyway." And I haven't even read all the what actually led up to that comment, but it just hit me like a ton of bricks that all these mothers out there in all these different nations, they got a stake in war, and I mean a big stake in war, because their children, all their children, are the ones who's actually going to go out and fight that war. They suffered the pain of childbirth. They suffered the pain of watching their child be sick and be healed, and all the things that the trials and tribulations. They were behind their child throughout this entire process, only to see their child get set off to a foreign nation to fight with other people's child. And so before all these wars ever even occur, I would like to see people sit down with their mothers of their communities and say, how do you feel about this, you know? Should we send our child over there? This is what's going on over there. Should our child go over there and fight with their child in order to rectify this situation? I would submit that if the women had a stronger voice in the community as far as whether we go to war or whether we not go to war, the 99% of the women out there would vote against the war every single time, because that is potentially their child that's going to go over there and not come back. Now, if the Congress and the Senate and the presidents out there had skin in the game, such as it was their children that was going to be leading the pack, if it was set up to the extent that if Congress and Senate was going to declare on a foreign nation that it was in law that their children must be the ones who lead the charge, how many wars do you think would actually occur if that father or that mother, who was the senator or the congressman or the parliament member or whatever, or the representation in any nation, had to send their children first before they would send the general population's children? How many wars do you think would actually go down? You see what I'm saying?
If we have war, it's only because we're reacting, right? If you be mindful, then you never have war. Well, you only worry about what needs to be done, right? Like a bird doesn't think about scents or anything. It just makes the nest. It does what it's got to do, right? To flourish, right?
Well, we're down to the wire, Justin. I understand what you're saying, but for every action is an equal and opposite reaction, and so if you're acting reactively out there, then you got to expect that some rebound effect is going to occur. So the choices that you made are going to be the ones that you have to live with tomorrow. And not just you. Everybody from that point on.
Right. So if you're just doing what a bird does, then you're never going to have, quote-unquote, bad karma.
Well...
Right? Yeah, okay, maybe a bigger bird like an eagle will come along and eat one of your eggs, but that's really just part of life, right?
There's a
you
a t-shirt
can go and get mad
there.
And attack that eagle and get all upset about it, but what's going to probably more likely happen?
There's a t-shirt out there called The Last Great Act of Defiance. I suggest go out there and look at this t-shirt called The Last Great Act of Defiance. It's a little mouse giving an eagle the finger right before he's dead. All right? Now...
I love that one.
Not only did he have his last word, he may even have the victory of this whole deal, because after he eats, the eagle may very well choke on his bones. That's karma. Folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. We've got to get up out of here, so if you guys got something really super quick to say, last message, we got to get this going. So, you got anything, Justin? Nope.
No, I'm good.
Raymond? No? Raymond. Alright, well, it looks like Raymond's got his mic muted.
Seeds, you get apples.
Yeah, there you go. He got it in there. Everybody, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I hope that something that we said to you is going to be beneficial. Be the Johnny Appleseeds of the future. Be the founding fathers and mothers and sisters and so on that paved the good stones to lead the good path into the future. For all generations to come, use wisdom, use knowledge, pay attention to every single detail before, you know, you do anything, before you make a choice, step back and look at the big picture and decide from there. So with that said, everybody take care. You've been listening to Knights Roundtable. If you want to share this podcast over at www.shazizradio.com, there's a podcast page for Mad Science and a podcast page for the Knights of the Roundtable. Many to listen to. Peace and love to the world. Take care.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you. We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king. Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony. Be quiet! But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
But if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away!
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up! Oh.
Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights at the round table, green dots where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put quick in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights at the round table, our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme to our quiet unseen label. We're off to mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
On second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right. Hear ye, King Shazir's the Terrible. Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.